Paul Rasmussen, we have just a couple of delays. If you want to search out kdkradio.com, you can find our official closing and delay list. And anytime we have the Pittsburgh Storm Center here at KDK Radio, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Metropolitan Window Company. So we're dealing with this cold air, and it has been persistent where you get these snow showers, Paul, and it slickens up the roads. And then we have these accidents, series of accidents every morning this week.
It's like a loop. It just keeps going around and around and around. We're seeing the same exact weather conditions day after day here.
Yeah, and even the most cheerful people, you get a little cynical when you see daily clouds and snow and cold temperatures.
What's working my last nerve right now is that back in my hometown, temperatures are in the 30s and 40s.
In Montana?
It should be much colder there than it is here.
Well, there are people talking about snow in Dallas, Texas. You know, they got the Cotton Bowl there tomorrow night with Ohio State and Texas. And then people with the cold air all the way down into Florida. So everybody's kind of dealing with that, but nothing like what people in California have been dealing with, these five wildfires. Meanwhile, as people settle into the new year, and a lot of companies are demanding that workers who had been remote, if not hybrid, get back full time to the office. And it's creating, on top of what was already a child care crisis in this country and in this region. And joining us is Dr. Demonte Walker, who is the CEO of the Pittsburgh Scholar House, a nonprofit that does a lot of great work in our region. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
So I know, for people that don't know, tell us a little bit more about Pittsburgh Scholar House.
Thank you for the opportunity to do so. The Pittsburgh Scholar House is a local nonprofit that employs a two-generational strategy to help single-parent students earn a college degree while raising healthy and happy children. We braid together socially supportive services and supports, such as helping with housing stability, childcare navigation, and tuition assistance to help make that goal of earning a degree a reality.
And one of those challenges, as you're acutely aware, Doctor, is sometimes childcare in that process. So from your perspective, what is the situation with childcare in this region and in particular in the city?
Childcare access continues to be an issue that a lot of cities and employers struggle with. And I believe that here in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, we are working cooperatively to try and find solutions for working parents and parenting students to make childcare access much more accessible. There are several strategies that are in play right now, and one of them being the governor's new child tax credit that will match the federal tax credit at 100%. That should relieve some of the burden for parents, but we know that the problem is a pervasive one, and we need creative solutions.
And one of the issues is having enough people to do the work to take care of the children, and the other is cost, and that is a huge factor for a lot of families that find it really challenging to have a job, but yet most of the money in some cases is going for childcare.
Yes, it also makes it feel as though that working doesn't make sense. It may make more sense to stay at home with the children, but the reality is that we need parents in the workforce to drive our local economy. So this is not a parent issue that must be solved, which I think is how we've addressed it over the last couple of decades. This is an all hands on deck strategy through workforce partners, our employers, our educational institutions, child care providers, and child care assistance networks.
And have you talked to anybody that's working on a game plan that would be really practical and something that could happen soon?
Yeah, there are several, as I said, several strategies that are underway. We've seen it through our political leadership, particularly with Sarah Inamorato, County Executive Sarah Inamorato, who has formed a task force that is looking at this particular issue and is devising solutions that not only address the availability of childcare, but also helping to drive some more workforce development around making sure that we have skilled workers that can help to address this challenge. I'm also aware that several employers are beginning to look at hybrid policies and more flexible policies that allow parenting students some redress when they do not have adequate child care. We are in the 21st century, and there are technological solutions and community solutions that can be deployed. And so there are several task force that I'm aware of that are working on this issue.
Dr. Walker, I did a story yesterday about an apartment building that's proposed for Hazelwood Green, 50-unit apartment building, 13 of those two-bedroom units would be reserved for single parents studying for college degrees. That's groundbreaking.
It is groundbreaking, and that is the model of the Pittsburgh Scholar House, to provide housing stability while these parents are working on their degrees. And we know that child care access will be an issue, which is why we are proud to partner with City of Life, with Reverend Tim Stevens, who is working on a child care facility that will be available in the site and accessible to both the residents and workers there on the Hazelwood Green.
So where will you direct people who want to get more information on the work you're doing and how they can get involved?
We'd love to have them visit our website at www.pittsburghscholarhouse.org or to follow any of our social media profiles at PGH Scholar House.
Dr. Demonte Walker, CEO of Pittsburgh Scholar House, great information. Thank you. Keep up the tremendous work.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Coming up, today is a milestone in technology. We'll tell you why, especially if you have an iPhone. This is a great time for a lot of people to kind of daydream with the cold weather and snow here about what they're going to do later. Maybe go to spring training in Bradenton, maybe a summer vacation. Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel is taking place at the David Lawrence Convention Center later this month, January 24th through the 26th. And right now I have a pair of tickets for you. Caller number 7 at 412-922-1020, 412-922-1020. And it's a great place to dream. One-stop shop if you're a traveler. Just book it and go. Where would you go, Paul? If the world was your oyster and somebody said, money's not an object. Where are you going?
Tokyo.
Huh? Should have had Mr. Mori. You should have talked to his team when he was here from Nippon Steel.
Right, and then Osaka. I would go to Osaka, probably Nagoya as well.
See Mount Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when we had the vice chair of Nippon Steel in studio, he had a team with him, and they did say off air, I said I would be fascinated to visit Japan sometime, and they said, you know, quite interesting for Americans who've never been, just to see a completely different culture.
It is completely different. I'm fascinated with the Japanese society and how they go about their daily lives. It's very interesting. Watch a lot of YouTube videos about daily life in Japan.
Now, it's crowded in places, but it is as clean as anywhere I've heard.
Yes, it is.
On Earth.
Yep.
And safe. Meanwhile, out in Las Vegas, it is the big consumer electronics show, CES, they call it. Next hour, we'll check in with our buddy, the gadget guru, Dr. Frank, get his takeaway in his 55 years going there. And as a judge, he always has the eye on what the cool things, you know, the top things coming out of. And I think back, and you brought this up earlier, speaking of innovations, the late Steve Jobs, the genius marketing and sales guy behind Apple, Steve Wozniak, was the guy that actually had to make the stuff. But today is a special day.
Today in 2007, Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone at the Macworld conference. And what he was doing at the time, his presentation, I want to play you a little bit of it. When he was introducing the iPhone, he was showing pictures of the smartphones of the day, like a BlackBerry. And so he had a screen at the top and then a bunch of buttons at the bottom. And he was saying that these buttons, you know, are kind of confining. They can be a little bit difficult to use. And so he says, that's a problem that we wanted to solve. And here's the rest of his presentation from that moment forward.
Well, what we're going to do is get rid of all these buttons and just make a giant screen. A giant screen. Now, how are we going to communicate this? We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. No. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. We're going to touch this with our fingers. And we have invented a new technology called multi-touch, which is phenomenal. It works like magic. You don't need a stylus. It's far more accurate than any touch display that's ever been shipped. It ignores unintended touches. It's super smart. You can do multi-finger gestures on it. And boy, have we patented it.
Is that not just...
That was great.
I love the enthusiasm that he has for this product. And within a year, I had an iPhone 3. And I've had nothing but iPhones since. They're a tremendous product. And now you can get iPhone-like products all over the place.
Yeah, I used to have a BlackBerry back in the day, and I've had an iPhone ever since once I converted from the BlackBerry. And this always resonated with me. I saw a full-page ad for Radio Shack, and someone said, almost everything on that ad is in your phone. And I thought, no. And then I thought, yeah.
Yeah, take an ad from the late 1970s from Radio Shack and look at the things they're offering there.
And all right.
Every single one of them can be found packed into your phone now.
Video. Who would have ever imagined that you could take video, the quality, HD quality with a phone? Photographs. Store them. Manipulate them. Edit them. An answering machine. Scientific and regular calculators. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. What's in your phone and accessible on a daily basis?
I read books on my phone. I have face-to-face conversations with people clear across the continent using my phone.
I have a link to Netflix, my account, that I can watch anything that I can get on Netflix on my phone.
I watch YouTube videos,
listen,
my YouTube Premium on this. Yep.
To music, but the number one thing you should do with your phone right now is download the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and it will be a gateway to some great listening.
I got to tell you one great thing about this phone. I got on a flight for Seattle. The Steelers were going to be playing. The plane had no live television, but they had an internet connection for me. I got Wi-Fi, and I called up my Fubo app, and I watched the Steelers play. At 36,000 feet.
How cool is that? Hopefully your seats won't be that bad for Saturday night. I'm watching a game from 36,000 feet. Talk about nosebleed. LaSalle Pleasant Cranberry joins us every Thursday for many, many moons. And you can see the good doctor at kdkradio.com on our video stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Three dog night.
Yeah. It's a cold one out there.
Yeah. Wasn't it the Eskimos that they judged how cold it was by how many of the sled dogs they had to utilize to stay warm?
They absolutely did. Dog night was a cold night.
How many dogs do you have now?
Well, I'm actually down to two dogs and two grand dogs, but it's, three grand dogs and then two cats.
So we're going to put you on the spot because you're as honest a man as we know, Paul, right?
Sure.
Do you ever
morning, Paul.
Feed any of your animals off of your dinner table?
Absolutely. I would never lie about that.
We figured you get the look and you know the look and sometimes you just can't resist.
Yeah, and we got to be really careful with that because that's, we get pets that are overweight, 65% of the pets are overweight, and it's because we're giving them things that we shouldn't be giving them. But I do keep my pets thin. They all are in that ideal body condition score. I mean, if I took such good care of myself, I'd be in good shape.
Now, I remember you had a chart in your office there about how your pet should look, you know, from different angles in terms of their body, you know,
contour. You know why that's there? You want to know why that's really there? Because when you tell people their pet's overweight, they go, no, this is the breed. And they don't want to believe it. And then when you show them that chart, you say, now look, this is what they're supposed to look at like from the top down. Then they see it. They get a visual. So it's a very good chart to get people motivated.
You're right. And I obviously never forgotten it. All right, let's get to some questions from Allison and Carnegie. Dear Dr. Mike, What are the best types of toys to keep my dog mentally stimulated when we can't go outside due to this severe cold? Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. You do want to keep mentally stimulated. I love puzzle toys where they have to, you know, figure out how to get the treat to come out. Anything that's interactive like that. Tug toys are good if you use anything you're doing to spend time with them. Scent games, hiding things, making them find them, show them something, let them smell it, and then put it somewhere and tell them to, you know, search or go find it, whatever your command is. That can be fun and stimulating for pets. So anything where you're basically spending time with them. You know, I don't care if it's a chew toy with a little bit of peanut butter rubbed in it. Anything like that, the pets are happy, and that stimulates your brain.
Rachel in Greentree wants to know if you recommend, how often would you bathe a pet in this kind of winter weather? And she wants to know, does the frequency of the washings and the shampoo affect their skin health?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I don't recommend bathing a lot in the winter unless they're dirty or smelly. And if they are, then, of course, you can do spot-on shampoos where you can, just like in people, you can do certain areas. If it's just one area that's dirty, like their feet, you can wash them off or get a wet towel and wipe them down. But if they really do smell or have dry skin, then moisturizers are good. There's good emollient shampoos that leave moisture in the skin, like oatmeal shampoo is a good example. You also, you know, I always tell people brushing them, putting a humidifier on is very, very helpful for them. But the brushing brings good circulation to the skin and helps dry, flaky skin as well. So don't overbathe them unless they absolutely need it. And then if I were going to give you a time frame, I'd say probably once every 4 to 6 weeks.
And from Zelianople, Ben wants to know, Dr. Mike, heard you speak about the dry heat during wintertime on your podcast. What are the best moisture-rich pet foods to combat dry skin caused by indoor heating?
You know, this is that time of year. That's what a lot of people are asking about, is this dry heat and the poor pets that are itching. Now, remember, if I give you this advice and it doesn't work, please see your veterinarian, because they can still have food allergies during the winter that would cause them to itch and suffer. And your veterinarian could certainly help alleviate that. But the omega-3 fatty acids you hear me talking about, other supplements that are great for skin, collagen, biotin, vitamin E are fantastic for skin. Not just omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil. Those kinds of foods and foods that hydrate them. A wet food is a good one. Adding water to the food is a good one. Anything like that is going to help their skin and help with this dry heat. But remember that brushing really does bring good circulation to that skin, and it's always a good thing to do for your pet. They enjoy it, and it's really, really thoroughly good for them. If you're feeding collagen or these supplements, make sure, if they're for humans, that they don't have things like xylitol in them or additives that could be dangerous to the pet, and clear them with your vet if you're not sure. But those are the kinds of things that really do help skin health.
And what about topically? I know you have the oxygen gel and other things that potentially people could utilize with some of their pets.
Yeah, especially if they have a hot spot area or an area that's itchy or dry or hairless. You can put on topical gel like Thor O2, which is fantastic for alleviating any kind of itch or dryness or pain. And there's also very good humidifying sprays. One of them's called Humectant. Is a good spray. You spray onto their skin and brush it in, and it helps humidify the skin. I love things like that. Those are things that are always good for them, and they appreciate the time as well. And anytime you can spend time with your animal, I don't care what it's for, it's always going to be a good thing.
And speaking of skin and bathing, getting back to bathing, people shampoo is not a good idea, is it?
No, it's not. Even Johnson's baby shampoo is too harsh for a dog's skin. They have different pH, different oils on their skin, and even the slightest of shampoos for people can cut right through those oils and dry them out and actually give you the reverse effect. That's why I say if you're going to use something, make sure it's a pet shampoo with an emollient like oatmeal or something that you can leave on for 10 minutes before you rinse it off, and it does help moisturize that skin.
I know what you're going to be doing tonight.
Oh, yeah. I have to work first. I'm probably going to miss the first half. But
what?
I'll get back. Come on. I know. As a kid, my favorite team was Notre Dame, and then it was Pitt and Penn State. And then I went to Penn State, so then I have to say Penn State took over. But this is a fun game for me tonight. There's no losers in this game. This is a fun game.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame and the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Doc, have fun tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck. Yeah, it's a Final Four in college football. And as Doc said, he went to Penn State. So easy to – there are a lot of alumni in our region. And there are a lot of fans of Notre Dame.
Go Lions. Let's go.
After the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen, broadcast legend Bill Hillgrove. We're going to put Bill on the spot. We'll ask him about the next 5 days of football. And, of course, he's still the voice of the Panthers in his 56th year of Pitt basketball. Our Hall of Fame friend Bill Hillgrove. I'll be curious, Paul, to get his take on, you know, what he thinks will happen Saturday night. He's seen a lot of games. He did play-by-play for the Steelers for 30 years. But on top of that, you know, a lifetime of watching rivalries like this. And not many people are giving the Steelers much of a chance to beat the Ravens.
10-point spread the last we checked.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Bill has to say, too. And also, we're going to take you live in the next hour to Las Vegas. We've mentioned the Consumer Electronics Show, and I think dominating that is artificial intelligence-related electronics. And it seems like everything has some relation to AI.
I was surprised to see a report this morning, Larry, where artificial intelligence is now featured as a benefit in home appliances, like your entire kitchen could be operating on an artificial intelligence format. Dishwasher, refrigerator, freezer.
Yeah, the refrigerator, right? That tells you what's in, it has an inventory list of what's in your refrigerator.
And it tells you what the shelf life is. You know, you need to eat this next because it's going to spoil if you don't.
I'm not sure I want my refrigerator talking to me, to be honest with you. That's like that report we had a couple of weeks ago about the air fryers that are Bluetooth enabled.
Yeah.
That are listening to you. And I'm thinking,
at all times,
why does my air fryer want to listen to me? And then why do I want to talk to my refrigerator?
Doesn't a smart speaker always listen too?
Yes. And that has been for us in the radio business a brilliant innovation because you can just say, play News Radio KDKA to your smart speaker and boom, we're there. And you don't even know how it's happening, right? As opposed to a kitchen radio that everyone had at one point in America. And here in Pittsburgh, it was locked on KDKA. I used to listen to Jack Bogut, who I talked to yesterday. And by the way, Jack spent 15 years in the air chair here, starting in the late 60s. And Jack was recently named a Pennsylvania Broadcast Hall of Famer. He will be inducted officially in April.
That's wonderful.
In Hershey.
What took him so long?
That's
right?
That's what I thought. The guy was unbelievably successful, but I'm going to tell you, he was very grateful, even though it came. Now, he's in the Broadcast Hall of Fame, but it's the Pennsylvania Broadcast Hall of Fame, and he should have been a long time ago, but that's pretty cool. So salute, Jack Bogut. You started a lot of great stuff here at the Big K.